Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III from LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Today's podcast is entitled Gospel versus Culture: How the Gospel Confronts the Culture's Idols and Lies. The Gospel is a proclamation of truth about God, mankind, Jesus the Messiah and Lord, and the coming judgment. It offers a way of escape from the judgment that has been pronounced upon the world through the cross. It offers an opportunity to join God in ruling over a new creation at the end of time. By nature, the gospel confronts the sinful status quo, the embedded lies and rebellion against God found in the human soul and the prevailing culture. The gospel is powerful and is God's designated means to overthrow Satan's rule in individual lives and ultimately in nations and cultures. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile." That's from the New Living Translation. Culture, idolatry, and lies. Culture is a shared vision of the nature of reality. This vision must include some understanding of both the immanent and the transcendent orders. It will incorporate unseen actualities and accepted moral verities that are believed to affect the arrangement of both the natural and the social world. In short, a culture incarnates and expresses a religion. That's from the Sharper Iron blog. From the gospel's perspective, cultures and the people who live in the culture thrive to the degree they embrace the truth about God and put into practice the values that define godly living. We see this historically. Those cultures that have embraced Christianity have thrived, whereas those who reject the Bible's testimony about God languish. Those cultures which attack the Jews and Christians remain in or have descended into darkness, inhumane practices, and depravity. Cultures degrade in proportion to how much they suppress truth and reject biblical norms. That's found in Romans chapter 1. Human beings are idolaters by default as a result of the fall. We were designed by God to be dependent creatures who are programmed to worship and serve Him. When we turn away from God, the drive to worship and serve will be transferred to an inferior replacement for Him, what the Bible calls an idol. Idols are products of the sinful human desire to have a God who protects and serves us while condoning our sinful and rebellious behavior toward the true God. In other words, idols are gods created in our own image, which never confront our sin. The Bible teaches us that we become like whatever we worship, 2 Corinthians 3:18. If we worship God, we become like Him. If we worship something inferior, we degrade from God's created purpose for us. This is by God's design. The original intent was for humanity to reflect God's glory as we worship Him. But when we bow down and serve an idol, we are transformed into that corrupt image. Idols are not always images made of metal, wood, or stone. Idols can be as subtle as devotion to the pursuit of wealth, if that pursuit displaces our worship and reliance upon God, who is our provider. Jesus called this serving mammon. In America, the pursuit and deification of liberty has led us to believe that freedom in and of itself is worth putting on a pedestal. Freedom apart from God, however, inevitably leads to slavery to our own sinful desires. True freedom is obeying God and always results in worshiping and serving Him. Our modern secular culture has major embedded idols and lies. Here are a few that I will cover in this article. First, there is no God and we got here by ourselves. The denial of God's existence is the chief lie. It is intended to eliminate our accountability to our Creator and elevate us to Godhood status, the pursuit of which was the original sin. We want to run our own lives without reference to God. A necessary corollary to atheism is self-creation or spontaneous evolution. This bold lie elevates man to the highest rung on the developmental ladder in a godless and amoral universe, giving him virtual godlike status. Self-worship is the ugliest form of idolatry. Because of the deification of self, Satan receives our worship too. Our culture has become grossly narcissistic. The second, truth, sin, and morality are fluid human constructs. Having thrown out God and elevated man to the measure of all things, our culture maintains that truth, morals, and laws are human constructs which can be changed or discarded at will. The first domino to fall was the belief that truth is absolute. If there is no God, then truth does not come from Him. Once truth falls, everything else is up for grabs. Sin can no longer derive from God. Instead, sin is viewed as a societal norm. Morality is the next domino to fall, as man attempts to redefine what it means to be good or right. Once again, self-worship is behind it all, as the culture slides into behaviors and beliefs that ultimately destroy it from within. Third, we are accountable only to ourselves. If there is no God, we not only get to make our own rules, but we are accountable to no one except ourselves. The idol that this lie engenders is pure power. Cultures that reject accountability to God slide into totalitarianism. How the gospel confronts the culture. The gospel directly confronts each of these lies. The proper delivery of the gospel should challenge and refute whatever idol is being worshipped by the hearers. Remember, the gospel presents Jesus as the Lord of Lords, not simply as Savior. The devil and the anti-God world system seek to encapsulate the gospel and to render it impotent in a way that is similar to how a human body walls itself off from infection. The powers that be tell us that all religions are created equal, and therefore none can issue a moral imperative. None have the right to tell us what to do or believe, since no religion is right. We are told that what we believe is a private matter and has no inherent right to access the secular public square. The culture and ruling powers are not usually too upset with the gospel's claim that Jesus forgives sins. What it hates and fights against is Jesus' claim to be God, the sole arbiter of truth, the judge of all mankind, and the ruling eternal king. First, there is a God. The Bible declares up front that there is a God who is the Creator. Paul wrote that the entire creation unequivocally declares the existence and power of God for all to see. The only way people can arrive at a position that denies God's existence is by deliberately suppressing the truth. Romans 1, verses 18 through 20. Deep down, everyone knows there's a God. The gospel calls its listeners to acknowledge that He exists, and not only that He exists, and that it is to Him we owe our existence. John 1, 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him." That's from the New Living Translation. Unless we come to grips with God's existence and preeminence, we can go no further. The gospel confronts the lie of atheism first of all, and calls people back to our obligation to worship, serve, and glorify God the Creator. Our greatest joy in life is experienced in returning love to the God who loves us past comprehension. Ephesians 3:19 says, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." The New Living Translation. Next, we are dependent on our Creator. Not only is there a God, but everything we see and experience came from Him and is sustained by Him. Colossians 1:15-17 says this. Verse 17 says, "He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together." The gospel strikes a fatal blow at man's desire to be his own God. As dependent creatures, we are humbled to admit that we need God every moment. Coming back into alignment with the truth about our relationship with God allows us to once again draw life, direction, and wisdom from our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer. This gives the greatest joy, freedom, and fulfillment. Next, truth originates in God and is absolute. Jesus the Messiah called Himself the way, the truth, and the life. That's in John 14:6. Truth exists because God is truth. Truth is defined by and comes from God. God is unalterably true in His words and deeds. He means what He says and says what He means. He never lies. The gospel confronts us with the truth about God, ourselves, our sin, judgment, life, and our eternal destiny. Unless we repent of our lying ways and accept God's truth, we cannot be saved. This includes accepting the gospel as God's true testimony about Himself, His Son, and His offer of salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12 warns that some people do not love the truth and therefore will not be saved. Next, sin is real and produces death. The Bible clearly teaches that every person is born from Adam is a sinner, Romans 3:23. All sin derives from our inborn rebellion against God, which is demonstrated by our choice to live on our own terms instead of in humble cooperation with and dependence upon God. Separation from God results from sin and always produces death, Romans 6:23. When we knowingly align ourselves with that which brings death, it produces a terrible tension and guilt within us. God gave us consciences to help us be aware of our terrible situation. When confronted with the truth, if we refuse to repent, our consciences can become unfeeling and useless. People become hardened in their rebellion against God, which darkens their ability to think clearly and correctly, Romans 1:21. Many such people develop philosophies and theologies that agree with their sinful position in an attempt to soothe their guilty consciences. None of this works because we do not get to define sin for ourselves. Only God can do that. All it does is keep people alienated from God and reserved for the coming judgment. Acts 13:46. The gospel identifies and confronts our sin. It calls us to acknowledge our need for forgiveness, our need to turn away from our sins, and to reach out to God in faith to receive the complete forgiveness that Jesus died to give us. Next, morality is part of God's order. Morality, the culture's accepted standards of good conduct and justice, is woven into God's creation order. We do not get to determine our own versions of what is good and virtuous. One reason God gave Moses the law was so that we would have a written standard that reflects God's righteousness. Society and individuals generally adopt a morality that agrees with its sinfulness. The further from God a culture drifts, the more its morals become skewed. The gospel calls the culture back to God's moral order and gives people transformative grace to live according to God's ways. Next, we are accountable to God who will judge all people. The last major lie confronted by the gospel that we will cover today is that people simply live and die and will have no ultimate accountability to anyone. This untruth is a logical derivation from the lie that there is no God. Even people who acknowledge God's existence often live as functional atheists. The gospel directly confronts this by announcing that Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead. Acts 17:30-31. The gospel calls all people to repent and to receive forgiveness, and then live in a way that brings honor and glory to God. Acts 2:38-40. The second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is an integral part of the gospel. When we proclaim that Jesus is coming back again, and enables us to establish several important truths. First, Jesus, the eternal Word of God, created all things, became a man who died for our sins as God's Lamb, and rose again as Lord of Lords. Second, His second coming will finally and completely establish His rule over the earth. Third, He is the glorious Son of Man, prophesied by Daniel, who would judge the living and the dead, thereby confirming every gospel truth. Fourth, once He appears in the sky, it will be too late to get right with Him. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to repent and believe the good news that God is offering to reconcile us to Himself. The gospel is not merely a presentation of what Jesus did on our behalf to save us from our sins. The gospel reestablishes who God is so that we can come into proper alignment with Him through repentance and faith. The gospel affirms the honor and glory of the risen Lord. The gospel is a declaration of war upon the lies and idolatry of mankind. The gospel is a clarion call to become part of God's eternal kingdom, which will eventually destroy all opposing kingdoms. Daniel 7:14 says, He, the Son of Man, Jesus, was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race, nation, and language would obey Him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Now, go share the gospel.